we should be able to sing this with real joy in our heart. I will sing the wondrous story. Number 339, let's stand as we sing if you can. 339, 339. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died.
Sky. Almighty I'm heading for the sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with the King. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. How do you do? Have you met my father? Well, he cares about you. He's King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with a poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Yep, shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 14 and actually verse 13. Matthew 14 and verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, that's when he heard that John the Baptist was now dead. Remember, the disciples came, told it to Jesus. That's how we ended last week. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So when he heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, he departed into a desert place. You know, it speaks pretty much of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ by the children of Israel. And so... he departs into a desert place. He's rejected by the nation, by even the leaders of the nation and so forth. Rejected. And he goes to into a desert place apart. But when the people heard thereof, they followed him. And then he went forth and he sees the multitude. Jesus has compassion and heals the multitude. You know what? So he does today. I don't think my Savior's changed one bit. He still has compassion. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to present to a lost person a Savior Jesus Christ who really cares about them, who does have compassion for them. He's not like the Islam or the Muslims God Allah, who doesn't really care even about his own people. They don't have any relationship with Allah. Allah is just some kind of a being out there, way out there in heaven. In fact, when they go to their so-called heaven, they're still not with Allah. Allah is still somewhere beyond where they're dwelling, in their paradise or whatever they want to call it. There is no relationship there with their God. I don't have any problem at all telling someone about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they need him. They need him. There is no one in this world who loves you more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of salvation, the gospel story of death on the cross, is just a wonderful story for every sinner to hear. Do you mean that God provided a way to save me from my sin? Yes, and that's the only way you can be saved from your sin, is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has compassion and he heals the multitude. Notice it says, and he healed their sick. He healed their sick. And he did that literally. Back then, you know, the blind, the lame, the sick, the diseased, they came and the Lord healed them. And they went away from him without that same problem that they came that day with. Now, I'm going to say this, though. I don't believe that the Lord continues to heal like that today. He heals the brokenhearted. He heals the sinful heart. But I don't believe that the Lord is necessarily in the business, if you want to call it the business, and it wasn't a business then, or the ministry, I guess you could say, of healing bodies and diseases and so forth. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter 2, 25. This passage is often used by the healing movement of today, saying that the healing is in the atonement, and therefore you should not accept sickness and problems in your body. You just go to one of these healers, pay him a certain amount, and you'll get your healing. I'm being facetious there a little bit. You pay him a certain amount. Mm-hmm. It always is connected with money. I don't know if you've noticed. Okay. All right. Verse 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Were healed is past tense. Were healed. You know, to say that this means even in the future when you get sick, you're going to get healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and, of course, through one of his healers and so forth. No, what is the healing that's past tense already? I believe it's the healing of the sin-sick soul, the healing of sin and being made righteous. And by whose stripes you were healed. By the way, whose is out of most of the new modern versions of the Bible. It says by stripes you were healed. No, wait a minute. Huh? By whose stripes you were healed. Let's leave the Word of God alone. Best thing you can do as far as the Word of God and finding truth is get a hold of, in the English language, get a hold of the King James Bible. It's the best thing you can do. And avoid all the rest. Verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your bodies. Is that what it says? No. Of your souls. Of your souls. You know, this whole matter of who Jesus Christ is, he has compassion for you. You as the person. Not, you're not just another body that he can heal. He's the shepherd and bishop of your soul that he wants to save. Your soul throughout all eternity. Now, a lot more could be said to establish this whole doctrine that healing is not, present day healing is not in the atonement. What kind of healing is in the atonement? That someday we're going to all be given a brand new body in glory. That's when all your sins and sicknesses and diseases and troubles are going to be gone. And you will have a new body. Till then, guess what? You're going to get sick just like anybody else does. Now, can you talk to the Lord about it? Yes. See, I'm going into a long dissertation of this and didn't intend to. But you know what? We got so much false teaching going on today. It's just terrible. All right. Well, let's go a little bit further here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, all these multitudes are all around the Lord Jesus Christ. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, oh, by the way, to him is out also. You know what? I'm just never, by God's grace, ever going to stop exposing the new modern versions. Three times they take the name Jesus right out. Up there in verse 14, and Jesus went forth. Westcott and Hort takes Jesus out. So I guess it just would say, and going forth, he saw a great, you know, Jesus is out of there. Go down there to verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples. Jesus has gone out of there too. So I don't know. I guess they changed it to a pronoun he. And straightway, he constrained the disciples. And even the pronoun his there, constrained his disciples. His is out. What's with these guys? Don't they like my Jesus? Don't they like his name? Down there to verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus
went unto them. They take his name out again. Three times. Does that bother you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to hear someone's bothered by it. That bothers me. That really bothers me. It is either the Word of God or it's not the Word of God. Either Jesus' name is there or he's not supposed to be there. And if one Bible has it in and another has it out, which one of those Bibles is the right Bible? Now we got two Bibles. And if we have this going on, you know what, folks? It's all over. It's all done. The liberals got us. We do not have an authority to go by. Because how do you know it isn't going to change some more down the road? It isn't going to change. Somebody's corrupting the Word of God. They're corrupting the Word of God. Okay, well, chapter 15, or verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Jesus feeds the multitude and teaches his disciples to rely upon him to teach and take care of these multitudes. That's what we're going to see here. So it gets evening. It's time for people to eat, and there's a multitude here. And we're going to find out it's 5,000 men. Now, you know, you add the women and children. Even if you only add half of the men had women and children, you're getting pretty close to 10,000 people here that have gathered around the Lord here. And it's getting late, and they need to have something to eat. And the Lord has compassion upon them. And they come to the Lord and say, "This is a desert place. Time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Lord, you're going to have to send these people off. They need to go and fend for themselves and get something to eat. Verse 16, "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake." Yeah, just like the song we sang, "Break thou the bread of life," right? Okay. He brake the bread by the sea in Galilee. I think the song goes on. And he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Well, the German theology and liberalism that still has its way in many of the churches and denominations of today have explained this away, because they do not believe in the supernatural. They don't believe that the book of Genesis is literal. They believe it's just legends put together. In fact, the book of Genesis probably wasn't written until maybe around the 8th century before Christ. Oh, no, no, no. He was around. The Genesis was right from the very beginning. Moses wrote that book. They don't believe Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. They don't believe that Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah. They believe 5 different men wrote the book of Isaiah. They divide the book up into 5 different parts. They don't believe Daniel wrote the book of Daniel, because the things Daniel wrote about in the book are too exacting that it could only be that after the historical facts in the book of Daniel took place that the book of Daniel was written. Well, I got a problem with that, because my Savior said Daniel wrote the book of Daniel, and that's good enough for me. And my Savior said Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. My Savior said that. And my Savior quoted from Isaiah about himself, and that the scriptures were being fulfilled that Isaiah spoke of and Jeremiah spoke of. Well, you know, these liberal theologians, they say, well, nothing, really nothing supernatural. These are just stories. In fact, even the Gospels are just stories written by men. And so they explain away these things. And what they have happening here, some of them have suggested that this is what happened. In the other Gospels, we find out that Andrew found this young lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And told the Lord about that there is a lad here. And he has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord instructed them, bring him here. You don't get all that detail in the Gospel of Matthew. But bring them hither to me. And so what they say is, this little lad was being a good example to all the rest of the people in the crowd to share his lunch. And then everybody else started to share their lunches. And when the whole meal was over, everybody had enough to eat because they all shared their lunches together. Yeah, you know what? This is unbelief. This is unbelief. A supernatural event took place here. And nothing less than what happened in the book of Genesis. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be land, there was land. Let there be water, let there be plants. And everything was made from the word of God. Here is the very same one who did all of that, walking among us, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the word Emmanuel, God with us. That is a great truth. That is a great truth. What is? That God the Son left heaven. God the Father prepared a body for him. And he entered into it, into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And then that baby was born into this world. And we have God the Son in human form, without sin, walking among us. He's the same one who in the beginning made everything. John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that. And without him was not anything made that was made. And here he is this day with compassion in his heart for this crowd of people whom he's already revealed himself by healing them and taking care of their diseases and so forth and speaking to them. Now they're hungry. Well, we got to figure out a way to feed all these people. How can we get somebody to start sharing? Oh, boy. Oh, man. How about we let Jesus take care of the situation? How about we let him do it? We need this same lesson today. Here the disciples said, well, they need to depart. They need to go and get something to eat. And the Lord says, no, they don't need to depart. The disciples say, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, when it says, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the other accounts give you the indication that the disciples were saying, like, this certainly isn't enough to feed all these people. Well, the Lord that day said, bring them hither to me. And they don't need to depart. And you know what, folks? The multitude does not need to depart. It's pretty much still the same today. The multitude still needs the word of God. They need the truth from the Lord. Sometimes we think the job too mammoth. Pastor, do you realize how many lost people are out there in that world? We can't win them all. We don't have what it takes. He tells us to go ahead anyway and give what we have, though it be little. Because he's going to take little and make much of it. And God's able to do that. And I don't think it's really too bad for us to really think of ourselves as little. We really don't have a whole lot to offer. But what we do have, God can use in a great way. You do not have to be an intelligent student of the Bible in order to share the truths of the Bible with people. You don't have to be a preacher I hope you don't sit around and say, well, I hope our preacher wins a lot of people to the Lord. What about you? You know, you need to be busy about it too. We all need to be busy about it. And it wasn't just some of the disciples that handed out the food. They all did. And when they were all done, they all had a basket full left over for each one of them. Well, the Lord took care of everything here. Bring them hither to me. Surrender even that little bit. Bring them hither to me. I'll make something out of that. You might not think of yourself as a great evangelist or a great missionary or a great tract evangelist or whatever, a witness for the Lord, but you just surrender what you are to the Lord and He can do something great with that. He commanded the mole to sit down in the grass, took the 5 loaves to fish, looked up to heaven, blessed and brake. And gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. You know, it doesn't say that Jesus made a big, huge pile of food, you know, and said, okay, everybody dig in. No, he broke the bread. And he also did the same thing with the fish. He broke the bread and just continued to give it to the disciples. No, you know, sensationalism in here, just a prayer to the Father up in heaven. And he begins to break that bread. I wonder if the disciples were watching that. He broke it again. There's still more. Can you just imagine this sight? Well, there you go. There's a basket. So you go take it over to that group over there. What is going on here? Did not they also see and remember the day when he turned the water into wine? Big, huge jugs there of water. And they put in their scoop to scoop it out, and it was the best wine that anyone had ever tasted. And it was not alcoholic. Okay? I hate that when people say my Savior was a bartender there that day. Well, it was wine, you know. No, the word for wine can describe anything from the fruit of the grape. It was the best they ever tasted in their whole life, because it was created by the Creator Himself, who creates grapes. He knows how to do it. And there that day, he just kept on breaking it. And they, verse 20, they did all eat. And were filled. See, it wasn't just sharing a lunch. You can imagine 7 loaves, 2 fishes shared amongst a bunch of people. Everybody would just have a little nibble to eat. They'd probably still be hungry. Now, they were all filled this day. I like the way the Bible gives you the details here. They were all filled. And they took up of the fragments. Anybody want seconds? Fragments were left. So much so that 12 baskets full were left. One for each of the disciples who had their faith tested there that day. And they learned a good lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of everything if we just let Him do it. The other accounts say, well, the one guy says how many penny worth it would take to go buy some food, and even that wouldn't take care of this amount of people. See, that's why these liberals are all messed up. The account tells us very clearly, Jesus created food that day that wasn't there before. And he fed the whole multitude. Everybody was full. And there were fragments left over. Some of you might have wanted to do that for Thanksgiving, you know, when you had everybody there and there was no food left. What do we do now? You know, not this day. They had more left over and 12 baskets left. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. You know what? They did all eat and they were filled. I just want to say this. My Savior Jesus Christ is more than able to take care of your need. And you have a need far greater than the need of those people that day to have something to eat physically. And that is, you have a need to have your spiritual hunger taken care of. And your spiritual hunger is there because of your sin. And you're separated from a holy God. And you need to be, as what the Bible says, saved. Saved. I want to ask you a question. If you, now I'm pointing right at you, okay? See, your finger's going straight to the back door. No, okay. I'm pointing right at you. If you died today, where would your soul and spirit be? Where are you going? I know where your body will be. Well, we'll take care of that and bury it somewhere, right? Well, where's your soul and spirit going to be? Where will it go? Do you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? Do you say this? Well, preacher, I hope I go to heaven. That's not good enough. You need to know more than just hoping. Well, preacher, I go to church. That's not good enough. Well, preacher, I try to be as good as I can. That's not good enough. Well, you're pretty tough, preacher. How do I get to heaven? Here's the way you get to heaven. You let somebody save you. You cannot save yourself. You need to let somebody save you. See, you're lost in sin. And from birth, you're headed to hell for all eternity. And the only way you can switch from being on the road to hell to the road unto heaven is to let God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, save you. You've got to see yourself as lost and needing to be saved. So let me ask you, if you died right now, do you know where you're going to go? If you don't know where you're going to go, then you know what you need to do? You need to admit you're a sinner. And that you are on your way to hell. And that according to the Bible, Jesus came and died for your sins. And He will save you. And notice I said, He will save you. Just like He provided the food that day, He provides salvation for you. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Oh, of course, that book Isaiah was never written by Isaiah, they say. I believe Isaiah did write the book of Isaiah. All right, Isaiah chapter 59, but look at what he writes in verse 50, chapter 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, He can save. I don't know if the Lord's strong enough to save me. Pastor, you know how bad I am? No, I don't know how bad you are. I know one thing. I know how bad I am. Well, you can't be that bad. You're pastor of a church. See, you got it all wrong. You think that somehow by what you do and the works you do, that that gets you to heaven. And certainly if you're a pastor, you got to be closer to heaven than somebody else. That's a bunch of baloney. Of course, maybe you like baloney. I don't know. But, baloney's no good, in spiritual things. No. We're all lost and need to be saved. And Isaiah, even long before Jesus even came, said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He's able to save. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. This passage is talking about how Jesus is so much better a high priest because He's after the order of Melchizedek, and because He, unlike Aaron, Aaron's dead. Jesus died but rose up from the grave. Okay, He's alive. And you want to know that you're going to heaven and have everlasting life, you need to be trusting in someone who's already conquered death for you, and that's Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, look at this. Wherefore,
He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I like the words here. He's able to save them to the uttermost. There's nothing left for you to have to do or accomplish in the matter of salvation except to believe. Acknowledge your sinful condition and believe in Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. And how well does he save? We're going to be looking at some of this tonight in the evening service. To the uttermost. I always liked Oliver Green the way he'd say this. He can save the guttermost to the uttermost. He considered himself to be the guttermost before he got saved. And so don't sit here today and say, well, I'm too sinful to get saved. Oh, no, you're not. In fact, the chiefest of sinners already got saved. That's the Apostle Paul. So if the chiefest got saved, so can you. Have you ever let the Lord Jesus Christ save you? When did you get saved? I'm not asking you to give me an exact date, time, and hour, you know, on the calendar or anything, but can you say, I do recall there was a time where I was lost on my way to hell, and after I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior, based upon God's word, I know now I'm saved and on my way to heaven. From being lost on my way to hell, saved now on my way to heaven. And that's what Jesus does. And he can do that, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for you. He'll never give up. He'll never lose his power. You're his. You're his forever and ever. All right. Back to Matthew 14. Jesus fed those 5,000 people plus with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you, many of you in Sunday school, have learned a psalm, have you not? Psalm 23. If you need to go there, I'm going to go there just so I make sure I don't quote it incorrectly. But those of you who know it now, we're going to say the 23rd psalm. And as you read through this, this was written by David long before Jesus was born. But I can see my Savior there that day taking care of this multitude of people, just like he does the sheep of the shepherd in Psalm 23. All right, let's say it together the best you can. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, didn't he do that day? Tell the people all to sit down. And in ranks of 50. So there are 50 there, 50 there, 50 there. 50. And by the way, isn't it interesting how the Lord does everything decently and in order? It wasn't mass confusion. It wasn't everybody getting slain in the spirit and everything. No. 50 here, 50 there, 50 there. Breaking it, giving it in baskets. And by the way, let's not waste anything. Don't be wasting food, by the way, children. Okay? Mom and dad, put something on your plate, eat it all. All right, well, can you pick up now? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did the Lord prepare a table before them that day? He said, well, I didn't see any tables there. Okay, you know what I mean. He provided food for them that day, unlike they've never seen before. Can you imagine the stories that must have been told for years to come of what happened on that day? Grandpa
Tell me again, how was it that day that Jesus fed everybody? Oh, let me tell you that story. Can you just imagine that? Yeah, one boy shared his lunch, and we all shared our lunches, and we ended up, well, no. Imagine years later telling the children the stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus, right? Don't we even have a song like that in our hymn book? Tell me the stories of Jesus. Yep. How he took care of the little children, blessed them. How he fed 5,000. How does it go here? It says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Next week we go a little bit further. Jesus is going to walk on the water. And though it's boisterous, by the time the day is over, that lake is as still as it can possibly be. He lead beside the still waters. We're going to learn how that even Peter walked on the water. In Psalm 23, what a blessed psalm. What a precious psalm for you to know. And now that Jesus has come, you know he fulfills that whole chapter, that whole psalm. He's the fulfillment of it all. Think David, looking forward as he writes this psalm. It's his own son that's going to come someday, whom he calls Lord. He's the one who's going to fulfill that Psalm 23. And the Lord that's going to come and fulfill that was even able in David's time to take care of his needs before he came. Well, he has come and he's done everything that the Father gave for him to do. Now we look back and I'm going to tell you, he's as good today as he was then, and as he was good for David before he even came. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Let's not be afraid to take the good news out. Don't count yourself too little, too small. The job's too big. It is a big job, yes. But God wants to use you and me. Just like the lad with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that day. I'm glad he surrendered it to the Lord that day, by the way, and so are the 5,000 people too. Oh, wow. You know what? Someday you'll be glad you surrendered your life to the Lord to use me, Lord, in any way you see fit to help someone else come to know your son as their personal savior like I do. And I challenge you today, get some gospel tracts, take them with you, and let's go. Let's talk to people and share the good news with people so that they can be saved. And someday, when we stand in heaven and may see someone there led to Christ by you, that'll be a wonderful day. Oh, boy. Number 532, Jason, would you come? Number 532. You know what? When it's all over and done with, you need the Lord. That's what you need. If you're not saved, you need to trust him as your personal savior. If you can't answer the question, where would you be if you died today? You need to come forward while we sing this song and let someone help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal savior. Let's turn to 532. Let's stand as we sing if you can. In times like these, you need a savior. You need a Bible as well. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds, rips us solid. Why are you coming forward?
Because I want to be saved,
You want to be saved?
Because it blesses the Holy Ghost, because I bless the Holy Ghost because I got mad to be jailed for Kmart community jail for stolen and committed to all around for me, jail all around. I was in jail.
Times like these, you need the. are, if you died right now, do you know where you're going to go?
Hello.
You need. Confusion. Only salvation can undo confusion. So let's pray that he gets saved. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time spent today. Help us to share the good news with people and not be worried about, am I able? Am I strong enough? Do I have enough? No, no, no. The Lord will take care of that. As he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So help us as we go our way. Live for the Lord in Jesus' name we pray.